Homegrown Radio at it. Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head.
West Coast.
In the house with us right now, man. A legend. I ain't talked to this dude in some time.
I ain't talked to him in a minute.
He's here. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Daz Jillinger, man.
Hey, what's up? What's up, y'all? Homegrown, what's up? Let's smoke.
Hey, listen. Hey, this is what? This is the
first time we've had them together as we talk.
It's the first time together.
Yeah. So y'all expanded, did a whole lot more.
It's been a minute. The first time I interviewed Daz was, well, I think it was E-Money. Was that your crib?
Yeah.
In Long Beach.
It was an E-Crib?
Yeah, E-Crib in Long Beach. I had a makeshift.
E not really from Long Beach, though.
Oh, don't say that. don't say that shit. He from Long Beach for real.
Yeah.
All right, man. So you got this album, Dazmataz, coming out pretty soon. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the first of the year.
Love, man. That song, I was telling you, man, I was playing that shit back to back to back, only on the West Coast, bro.
Oh, man, for sure. Man. Any money we put that together.
I love the sound of that. I love, you know, how raw, you know, just authentic it sounds. Sound like that.
Man, you know, when I get mad, I make my best music.
What you mad about?
Just the game. You know what I'm saying?
In general.
As far as like, there's so many stingy West Coast guys out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They want to get everything from you, but they don't want to, give it back out. You know what I'm saying? And I give it out and go around. You know what I'm saying? And
so why do you think that is? I mean, because you've seen this.
You've seen this shit from the beginning.
I'm about to say. Thing on West Coast. You know what I'm saying? That's how we grew up. You know what I'm saying? But.
Why do you think the culture is like that out here? Because I mean, you go through
bang.
give me. But why do you think that is though? I mean, because we were just talking about off camera. You do a lot of your shit outside here. You see, you go to Atlanta, get shit popping.
Yeah. Me and Gip got a whole album together. You know, we popping down south. You know what I'm saying? And Midwest. And you know, I just go different places. Like that's why I'm putting together Dazmataz on the West Coast, and then Daz and Gip on the down south.
ATL.
You know, just keeping it moving, man.
Now, the thing is, when you say, like, do you think that because you've seen the West Coast go through hella transitions.
Turmoil.
You know what I'm saying? So you've been through all the ups and the downs, both. So do you think, like, at this point, relative to where it was a couple of years ago, it's in a better state? Because
it's in a better state for artists as far as getting known and we out there, you know, like, back before, because, like, in the 2000s, It was hard for us.
It was dry.
You know, dry. Man,
we had to push that by constantly putting music out, constantly being in their face, constantly in the club, just constantly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now we had a better stage where everybody getting it.
It's an even playing field.
Right.
Yeah, do you like playing. Now, because a lot of the dudes that I consider you at this point, like you, for me, you are OG, like, because
you
one of the people who kicked the door in, especially when it comes to this, you know, not want to say East Coast, West Coast, but when it comes to nationally being recognized for being a West Coast artist, you one of those dudes that everybody know. It ain't no mistaking.
Oh yeah, I'll be driving down the street. What's up, Dad? What's up?
Hey,
yeah.
Hey. So like, do you think like, as far as where we at now, do you think you like it better where in the digital age where it levels a plan? Like you could drop an album tomorrow that you go in the lab and cook up tonight. Yeah. You could drop it tomorrow and everybody have it. Do you like it better that way or do you like it better before where you had to go through the stores and everybody? Did you like the experience?
I like it better this way.
I mean,
the stores was a good, you know, stepping tool to learn the business. As far as you now, then you can just jump in because it's just a push of a button now people. But back then, we didn't have no internet. We didn't have no social media. We had to go knock on the door. We had to carry our records.
Yeah.
You know, boxes of them.
Right.
And they got a whole box. You know what I mean? So I like it like it is now. You know what I'm saying? It's more better. Everything is getting more digital. That is going straight to your phone.
Right.
You can get it right to the people.
But just the streaming is different than record sales.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
Are you pro streaming or against it?
Man, I'm with anything gonna get the check.
Get that money. CTC.
Yeah. You know, one cut thing about being broke, you know, you don't pass up no money. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So
you do what you gotta do.
You learn that negotiation is a must.
Got you.
Now you were one of I would say few that really took this independent thing like
hell yeah.
And ran with it from the early days. You know what I'm saying? Where did you adopt that philosophy? How'd that come to you?
Well, I have, you know, got off death row. My last 10,000, pressed up some records at Rainbow Records, my first album, Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And had 10,000 records, CDs in the back of my Benz, driving down the street, headed to the record store, serving.
Oh, you was out the trunk?
Yeah, I was out the trunk with it, you know, because I had went out to the Bay Area.
Seen that.
I was up there with JT, the bigger figure.
That's right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I was doing verses at that time, and I had a, you know, a Benz with the little hatch thing right there, just full of money. Was doing verses. I was selling Tupac verses. I was selling.
He said, I was, you said you were selling Tupac verses?
Yeah, 85,000 a verse.
Woo. Get the fuck out of here.
Hell yeah.
How many Tupac verses did you sell?
Shit, about 12. 10.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I had about $1 million in there. So I had like.
Wait. You can't just say I had $1 million. That's not normal.
I had
normal.
My mom in there. She was, you know, coming to the house, and I had all the money just laid out counting. She's like, baby, you didn't rob.
Yeah, well, baby, you didn't rob
nobody. You didn't fuck no shit up.
And I say, nah, I didn't rob nobody. Right. I just did all this reverse. And then she like, now give me 10,000.
Right. Let me hold something real quick.
Like now, that. So it's just like, you know, just moving and grooving and just learning the independent game. And then it's all about catalog. And then I met Ghazi. Mm. From Empire,
yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? And I started moving with him. He was moving with me. That's when he was first starting. He was working at In Grooves, but he didn't even have Empire yet.
Wow.
And then he came to me and said, can I use your catalog and start let's make it happen. And then from then on, we just grew, and I started taking him all around people who needed distribution. Because I knew every rapper and everybody, and I knew what they didn't have.
Right.
So I introduced him to him, took him down south, took him here, and that's how he blew up.
So the thing is, like, what's crazy is, that's why
I hooked Nima up with him.
Shout out to Nima, man.
Shout out to Nima, yeah.
Yeah.
So what's crazy is, like, you was doing all of this before there was even a real system.
I was down there with Southwest Wholesale Distribution in Texas, in Houston, Texas. I was down there with every rapper from Houston, Texas that you can imagine, from Lil Flip to Slim Thug.
Yeah, yeah.
They was down there getting that real money, man. That Robert Gilliman was breaking them off. Cash Money was there getting checked.
Yeah.
He was paying me $8 a record, and he was pressing them up. You know what I'm saying? So what else can I say?
Yeah.
I'm not pressing up. He pressing up and giving me $8.
Why not?
And I done sold 40,000 of them at $8.
I'm trying to do the money
was,
in my head.
The money was coming in, and then I dropped the Dillinger and Young Gotti, and that just took us to another level of independence.
So why do you think that you were so fortunate at that time? Because there was a lot of people that were signed to record labels.
Stuck in contracts,
couldn't get out their situations, either whether they were scared
I learned how to just take my money. I knew the pressing man. Hmm.
So you press your own shit.
I knew the pressing man, because you know, when a person get their record pressed up, it's going through 4 or 5 different hands. Before it gets to the press, to the middleman. He taking it, you know what I'm saying? I learned all that. To cut all them, I'll go straight to the man where I'm getting the records for almost 38 cents a piece.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? So 1,000 records, man, it was like $300, $300 something. And I'm making $10 off of the record. So that 1,000 was $10,000 off $300 something.
Hence why the catalog was important to put more shit out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I just why would I want to keep any songs on my computer when I can make money off of them?
Touche.
Get that music up out of there,
so
man.
So you don't sit on nothing.
I don't sit on nothing.
Do you think that helps or hurts? Because then at that point.
It's like back in the days, it would hurt people because they was on the label, but right now it's all independency, which is under one bank.
Mm-hmm.
So I could put out 1,000,000 records under that one bank, and just knowing that all that's going right
it's
to
going
the bank.
Right
so
back, yeah.
Put it out there, let it float, because it's a streaming thing now, so you just got to register your songs, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I only say that because of you know, the argument of quantity versus quality, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of people say when you put, you know, a lot of shit out there,
that much music
that
out.
Much content out there, the chances, you know, you're not going to make
it. It's all about making good quality music, you know what I'm saying? It's, you can put quantity out, and it's just like mixtape songs, you know what I'm saying?
Have you ever put out some shit that you thought was trash, and you...
And it was good. Yeah, a lot of like, what would you do and all kind of
really?
Stuff. You know what I'm saying? We were just putting records out. Put them out.
Put them out.
They ain't going to make no good. It's just sitting
just
over there sitting listening
there.
To them all day.
Damn.
Let's see what the public got.
Are you one of those people you don't like your hit records?
I'm real, you know, edgy on, all right, this and this and changing. Corrupting them don't like that.
Yeah.
But I'm a producer, man. I got to sit down, critique this thing. I got to listen to it about 4 or 5 times, see if it's something sticking out. And you know, just making sure that it's quality and mixed right.
Now, speaking of production, we got to touch on this.
Yeah.
This, now, All Eyes on Me movie.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. So I know everybody done talked to you about this shit, but we haven't.
Nah,
so,
this is the first time.
So, oh, for real?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So in the movie, there's that scene, right, where the beat is being made for
Ambitious
the Rider.
Yeah.
Is that how it went? Like,
nah, I didn't really go. I put that scene together myself. That's my son in there.
You look just like you too.
Yeah. Spit him out.
About that.
No question.
No, it didn't happen like that. We just put it like that in the movie, you know. But as far as we already had the beats made early that day, and then two of America's Most Wanted. If Drew Down would have had that 5,000,
he would have had that. He would have had that. Get the fuck out of here.
Are you serious?
He would have had
so
that.
Ambitious. I'm sorry. Two of America's Most Wanted wouldn't be what it is.
Tupac on it. It had me because I did the hook and everything. So if he would have had that money,
so it was the beat and the hook for 5,000.
Yeah.
And if he would have paid the money, Tupac would have never had it.
He wouldn't have seen the light of it.
That's crazy, bro.
Yeah,
and that was that's crazy. That's an important song, too. Damn. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Hey, you had an interesting relationship with Pac as well, man. Talk about that, because I think we can't get enough Pac stories, right?
Oh, yeah.
Shit happens all the time, but... You got a Machiavellian Dillinger shirt on right now, and a hat, got all, you know, the material. But talk about your relationship with Pac and why, I guess, he felt as comfortable to let you have a lot of that material, why you were able to do that.
You know, because we both Geminis, you know, we come from the same place, and he used to just come over to my house and spend the night all the time, wake up in the morning, he on the couch.
Crazy.
You know what I'm saying? To get the first batch of beats. And when I wake up, I had the beats.
Because he knew you was the one cooking them up.
I'm cranking them up in the morning. I'm going to bed in the evening time. Right. I smoked all day.
Like, come and get
it. So, you know, we made a lot of music, and it's still some music today that I haven't heard.
But so just real quick. You be at the house. You would cook up the beats at the crib, or you would already have them from the studio?
I have them cooking them at the crib, and then I take them to the studio.
Oh, okay.
You know, which we had ADATs back then.
Yeah. Shit.
I still got an ADAT trying to find a machine.
So there's potentially a lot more material out there that you haven't.
Yeah, yes. A whole bunch of stuff we ain't heard yet. Maybe because we was just writing anything on the box.
If you had to estimate at this point, because you've got a lot of shit that's already out there.
Your catalog is ridiculous, by the way.
Try to keep working.
How many songs do you think, how many other Pac features or verses or songs that are out there that you haven't had a chance to release at this point do you think you have?
Well, I gave the estate all my songs, okay. You know what I'm saying? But just as far as songs that we made, like the song with I Tell Joe, Snoop Dogg, Save a Life, and, you know, all them other ones just ain't heard them, they ain't came to the light. Mm-hmm. Then I made a song that's permanently my song, which is my song, which is called Only Move for the Money. Mm-hmm. That's a song that I put together with me, Tupac, and Badass, but... I destroyed the reel.
Why?
You destroyed the reel?
Yeah, so they wouldn't make no remixes and shit. Just keep that one pot of money going right there. That one mix.
That one. Hey, you up different. You petty. What?
Fuck that. Nobody.
Ain't nobody.
They was taking songs and they was
flipping them.
Flipping them, and then they get the publisher for it.
Oh.
And then they just give you like a little percentage.
Because
you was there making it up and all that other type of shit. So.
One step ahead.
So how many masters you think you done broke?
just that one.
Just that one willing to admit on camera.
Just that one.
Fucked up.
Yeah. That's funny as fuck.
Now you obviously, you know, not just producer, DJ, you know what I'm saying? All these things, but you know, prior to rap. What was this prior to rapping, or was this kind of all around the
same
time?
I was DJing before I was rapping.
Okay.
I was DJ Young Jedi.
Word, you know, that's young Jedi.
Two stole turntables from Calvin. Shout out to Calvin Anderson, VIP. I'm going to take the trash out. I had two Techniques in there. Them 1200 back then. You know how much they was costing.
Yeah,
and I had a pyramid mixer.
And you stole them?
Threw them in the trash and then came back and got them.
Oh, you took them out with the trash?
Yeah.
You didn't hear the story, nigga?
Oh, my God. No, I'm just saying the audacity of somebody like, if you're going to steal some shit, just blatantly steal my shit. Don't play me and steal it. Like,
I'm taking these boxes out. We take the boxes out for you, Cal. Yeah, throw all of them out. Which one's the big one?
Yeah, that one.
And I came up with the turntable. That's how I used to go to the rec with my turntable.
Yeah.
And DJ in the park. You know, me and Snoop made our first mixtape back there. You know what I'm saying?
What's up with the whole VIP situation now? I mean, a lot of people.
It's still there. It's on the corner. You know, it's changed location, but the sign's still there. The city was trying to take it, and now they got 7-Eleven. It's a VIP 7-Eleven thing now.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
I haven't seen it in a while.
7-Eleven is in there now.
So a lot of people, I mean, at this point, a lot of people, they're saying, you know, natives from Long Beach probably could have stepped in and helped out or maybe bought it or, you know.
Where are we going to put it at?
You're right.
But didn't they have like a petition going on to actually buy it?
They had a petition where, you know, where it's there, you know, because even Leor Cohen was trying to buy it, mm-hmm. put it in his office.
The sign?
Yeah, he was trying to buy the sign and put it in his office.
Oh, that's some bullshit.
That's what we said. So, you know.
Yeah, that's some bullshit.
Everybody, we signed a petition, you know, got a thing. And it's still there, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And shit, who the owner of the building owned it, huh?
So he owned the building and the actual sign.
I mean, the building is on the sign. How long are you going to take the sign off? What tools we got to take this off?
But I guess my question was why nobody stepped in and said, okay, let's put our money together. Let's keep it there.
I mean, you know, it was somebody else's already, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We trying to go in, but they ain't finna sell it. You know, everything nowadays is like,
gotcha.
We trying to really buy it, to own it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And everybody like,
I got you. That makes sense.
So I was just me and Gib was in the radio. I'm in the car, and they said Machiavelli 21 year anniversary. Yeah. I'm like, damn,
21.
21 years.
It don't even seem like that long for you, given them the whole.
I'm moving. You know what I'm saying? I'm still here, moving and ticking. You know what I'm saying? Looking young and everything else the same. And man,
Do you think that a lot of people from like not a lot of people, but artists in particular from your generation who pretty much started this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that it's more difficult to work with them now versus back then?
A lot of people be having egos and tired and, you know.
Just burnt out
and, you know what I'm saying, and it look like, you know, ain't no money involved in the situation, you know what I'm saying? And I be telling them, hey, it's a whole nother world. Yeah, you got to get out there. Like I said, dope dealer never made money in his own town. He always had to do what?
You right.
Go out of
town.
You right.
Yep. Motherfucking
world. Damn, you right. Because we for sure didn't get no fucking respect here for a minute. You know what I'm
saying? Get respect more every other places. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That's when I go out there to Atlanta, they be like, you know what I'm saying? You go out here, it's like,
like, huh?
And then not no but
right,
huh?
Right, huh?
Yeah, just like you said. Did you say huh? Oh, you say huh? Yeah, you know, man. Stuff like that. So it's just, it's hard. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, you know, the radio's different. Mm-hmm. Radio was way different out there. You come mm-hmm. right off the trap.
Yeah.
They'll let you in.
And right in there and
open
make
door
a song.
Policy.
All yeah. Right. And go to all, because all the DJs in the club.
Yeah.
Clear this up. Back in the day, because, I mean, obviously, we were in it, but not really in it. Like, we was kids of this shit, right? So, 92.3 The Beat, did they have an open door policy where somebody like you just come off the street and just get in there?
No, you had to know somebody. 92.3 The Beat was like off of Sunset.
Mm-hmm.
In that building where they had the window outside, where you can,
right.
You know, get out there and see Theo,
yeah,
and all that shit. You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't an open policy. But, no, it was gangbanging back then.
I was about to say, in comparison to,
it was banging hard back then.
Gangbanging back then.
Y'all, yeah, I heard the
Death Row Suge Knight.
I done heard the interview.
Eazy, you know,
y'all was banging
on the
radio.
Was up there too.
Yeah.
So it was Ruthless Records and. You know, I was remembering the time that Eazy was on the radio, and then we got on the we was arguing on the radio. We was about 16 years old, you know what I'm saying? But we all past that right now.
How do you feel about where the estate? Because I remember the Death Row stuff was up for auction back
a while back.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, did that include? Like
that included everything, but
catalog included.
Yeah,
like,
but E1 got it back now, so they putting dirty paperwork in the game because, you know, they was always involved with Suge Knight.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? So they had, when Wide Awake had it, they was going by the contracts that they
strictly
got.
Strictly by the books.
Yeah, and now E1 got it, so they start putting in false paperwork. That's why I'm taking them to court right now.
God.
And I got to get everybody together for a class action.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, shit, I produce some shit, too. You know what I'm saying? You know, if we running a class action.
Everybody getting the feedback. I was affected by what I heard. Fuck
yeah, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's all about fighting for the music, man.
Right.
If nobody ain't going to fight for your music, I will.
Right. How important do you think that is, though? Because a lot of people.
See, because you got a plaque up there that I don't even got.
Right.
I don't even have a dog food plaque.
Yeah, man.
Really?
He gonna walk in. Yeah,
I came over there and looked at the shit. Damn.
Hey, matter of fact, you gotta. Hold on. Before you tell the story, you gotta sign that motherfucker.
He like, fuck that. Yeah. He gonna own that motherfucker. Like, he gonna walk out with this bitch.
Yeah,
hey, Tomas, get the Death Row plaque. Get the death row plaque. We got a death row plaque at homegrown. You know what I'm saying? Chuck Dizzle was a thief.
Hey, man, nah, I ain't no thief. It was handed down to me.
Like how Daz Thursday was handed down to him.
That's a commemoration for KKBT Los Angeles. 100.3 the beat at the time. I think it was 92.3 the beat. But it was 100.3 to be at the time where I got it, right? Shout out to Tuwala Sharp.
Shout out to Tuwala. Hey.
You're looking out.
Hey, I ain't gonna hear
me. Oh,
you hear me?
Wow.
At my house in Atlanta, I got a DOC plaque from 100 Miles and Running.
Get
gold
the fuck
plaque.
Out of here.
That Doc didn't want them, you know. So I was
young. He's like, man, let me take that.
I'm taking
that.
This.
Yo, that's hell, yeah.
So I got a NWA 100 Miles and Running gold plaque with Tracy Curry name on it.
Yeah, that's exactly what the fuck happened.
Hey, so do you care about shit like that? Because you, I mean.
Yeah, I care about all my plaques. You know what I'm saying? I got nominated for a Grammy. I lost a little thing, but I'm trying to hit them back and get another one. But, you know.
God damn, dude.
I had a lot of stuff. Well, when you get into a relationship and you get out of
it. Oh, man. That's what happens. Wait. That's a whole different side of that shit.
Got to do with a Grammy?
Bruh.
Because I got nominated. I got the award and all that.
Vindictive,
you know,
woman,
and
bro.
And then I broke up with my woman.
Yeah, come on, man. You didn't put two and two together.
What stuff is that, man? The plaques there.
I could have sworn my Grammy was here.
Wait.
I come back, man. It's a ball of fire over this. You done burnt it all.
Wait. So you, let's say you go get some chicken, right?
Well, I got to be chicken.
And you
just a chick.
Yeah. No, chicken.
A chick.
Oh, you was dirty.
You're talking about with the woman, right? She got your plaques going and it. I call cheating.
Yep.
Something.
So you don't know where that shit is at?
I don't know where it is right now. Somebody got it anyhow. I remember one time we was overseas in Canada. I had a DPG jacket, brand new blue leather, all the way to the thing. I come back, it was gone. 24 hours, I see it on eBay.
Get the fuck out of here.
For like $10,000 or something.
Can't you find people like...
You know, anonymous emails.
Oh, man, that's a wild
that's bullshit. Now you internet.
And plus, we in another country.
Yeah. Oh, you out of pocket.
Yeah, we had, you know, they got us.
You can't do nothing.
They got us.
Speaking of out of country, I went to Japan with Dash.
Okay.
Yeah, me, E-Money.
It was me, E-Money, Glasses.
Malone.
Big Steel.
Yeah.
The homie DJ Koki. And so we go to Japan. And... let me tell you something. Daz is the guy over there, okay? I'm talking about, like, I got a picture. I'm going to show it to you. I got it in my laptop just for this.
I was just looking at some video of us. You know, remember I had a video camera over there. We was taping everything.
Yeah, we was taping everything.
I got swap meat on wheels.
I got a picture of you feeding this Japanese girl grapes in the club. She got her, Daz had her, for those listening right now, you can't see it, but watch the video. Daz got her neck cocked all the way back, like this.
Right?
He got her neck cocked all the way back, like he was like, I want your shit to be perfect.
I want you to be perfect when I drop it. I need you to go. That means
she was like, I want your shit to be straight up and down.
Yeah, because
she
was like,
she was trying to get her posture right for Daz.
We was testing the girls out, you know, which one's going to get busy. You know what I mean? Drop a grape.
He held the grape and dangled them in front of her. And just dangled the grapes over her mouth. And she's standing with her shit open.
I was young then.
Oh, man.
I'm experienced now.
Shit. I ain't going to everything, but I do want to talk about that. And I do want to talk about the fact that I lost, I think it was 1,000 yen. I don't know how much money that is.
It was, what, 10,000?
No.
No, 1,000 yen was 100.
$100? $100. So I lost 10,000. I mean, 1,000 yen to Daz.
I mean, we went to that electronics store.
We went to an electronics store.
Speakers for $5 in there.
I lost 1,000 yen to Daz because I bet him he couldn't do a standing backflip.
Oh, I remember you telling me about this shit.
And this, let me tell you. Are you on camera right now?
Yeah.
Looking at Daz, I judged him. You know what I'm saying?
I get a lot of people like that.
I'm looking at Daz.
A lot of his money.
I pay a lot of health insurance. So I go to the doctor and I'm telling the doctor, like, look, what am I supposed to be? He's like, well, they told me I was 35 pounds obese.
Okay.
Overbeast. Like, not overweight, not obese. I'm 35 pounds past overweight.
Yeah, you fucked up.
Right? So I'm looking out naturally. I'm profiling Daz. I'm like, okay. Daz been rich for a long time. You know what I'm saying? He got a little size to him. Fuck it. I'll bet you. What you want to bet? 1,000 yen. All right, let's bet it. Daz didn't even hesitate.
Put the money up.
We put the money up. He tucked his chains in. pulled his hat down tighter, stood on the ground, feet together, and just did a backflip and landed on his fucking feet.
No struggle.
No nothing. No struggle. He didn't break a sweat, and he just pulled his hat back up a little bit, started smiling like, yeah, need that bread.
I need that.
And we went to Denny. Yeah.
What the fuck? And then this is before I didn't have a video camera, right, so I don't have no documentation.
None of that shit.
But I'm like, Daz can really do a standing back tuck like on some gymnast, bring it on type
shit. What the fuck? Yo, so what? Did you play sports back in the day or anything like that?
Play football, basketball. All that. I can go get it. Everything.
He busted a fucking backflip.
A backflip? No, a standing back tuck.
I do backflips to keep myself in shape.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's crazy, bro. That's fucking. As you can see,
a person doing some backflip, you know he whooping ass.
Right.
And nobody. As you can see,
I've never gotten over that. You know what I'm saying? I still hold that against you a little bit.
He did.
You did?
Yeah. Same way you did.
How much did you bet Puff?
I had Snoop, he was hyping him up, so you know.
How much did you bet Puff?
Like 5 G's.
Woo. For real? Woo-hoo-hoo. He had to come out to the. He had to run you that money immediately.
It was all to the good. You know what I'm saying? His money always good.
I mean, he ain't tripping.
Because I didn't have no money when I bet you that 1,000 yen. Puff got some money.
Stuck.
Yeah, P Diddy.
So look, we were talking about you know obviously being in the Bay, being in the South. Like for you, those areas are like predominantly independent. Do you feel like which area kind of has that knack the most?
The Bay Area.
For sure.
You know, back then they had like City Hall distribution. Mm-hmm. They had Bay Area distribution. And then down south, it was Selecto Hits, Southwest Wholesale. So I was just really jumping in my car and hitting every Tower Records.
Yourself?
That I can hit independently, because they would buy the records for me on consignment. I would go drop them off a 50-pack. You know what I'm saying?
Now, when you're doing all this, I know, you know.
Driving.
Your peers at the time, they're looking at you like you're crazy, I'm assuming, right? Some of your peers, was there some convincing
because
that you had
Snoop,
to do?
Yeah, Snoop was like putting out an album, and I put an album out, and it'd be right next to his. Wow. He like, man, how you do this? It's called pricing and position. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You pay for that for the store. You know what I'm saying? Have your stuff. As soon as you walk in, bam.
Bam.
You know what I'm saying? So I learned the whole game, and then you had Big A with me. And
shout out to Big A.
You know what I mean? And he's super loud.
Oh yeah, no, he gonna go get it.
Make sure
you bam, you know I always seen him in there, like, filter out the bullshit.
Yeah,
go get him.
You know what I mean, see what they about,
right?
See if they playing, and then you know he was a big factor because he had a store too, where he was selling beepers and CDs, and so he knew the retail. And back then they had one stops, and that's where we used to sell all our music to, the one stops, and they would sell to the stores.
Wow. Yeah.
It was a great thing, man. Damn. I still use that tactic. So that's what I'm doing right now, just to show everybody that I could put Daz and Mataz out and start it from the bottom. And you see me pressing the records. You see us all out here putting it there. I'm finna have street teams back on thing, all down Crenshaw, filling up the streets, all on the freeway, just post, you know, all that type of shit.
I feel like it needs to be a balance between those two worlds. I see you obviously getting more active on the gram, too.
Oh, no, his digital is, he be going live and
Tyree.
Talking.
Larry!
Oh, man.
Man, what's wrong with
him? Hey, man, look,
that's...
Hey, hold on. Why don't you...
I just did a song with Tyree. He called me like 2:30 in the morning. I ain't know who number this was. And he called me like, yeah, bro. Yeah, I need that verse from you. I'm like, yeah, I'll send it to you, but now I'm finna cut his part off.
Right. Not
and
now.
Just have me snooping corrupt on that rap.
So this
I put
hey,
that loose
Daz,
on,
listen, man.
Prior
man,
to all this, bad crying. Daz, he cried 3 or 4 times.
You done made a lie.
He lied about the $5 million.
He did.
But I want to go ask him for some of that $5 million.
Hey, you done lied. You done made a lot of money over the years. Why you don't loan Tyree some money, man?
Let him hold something.
I mean, he was, you know, he ain't never gave, you know, hey, shout out to Tyree.
He saw that road. He said,
yeah. Like my mother said, you got to be wise with your money. Yeah. Invest your money. You know what I'm saying? You know, I always try to invest in a lot of property because that's worth more than gold. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and, definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Just be wise with your money, because California rent is killing motherfuckers out here.
Killing.
Motherfucker over, you know, here going up shit. So I'm already
this right? Motherfucker we sitting in right now. This
man, you know, hey, I bought a compound $70,000 out of town in Atlanta on 2 acres on commercial real estate, 7 bedrooms. Mm. I got a parking lot big as that whole thing in the, out there front, and in the back. You know what I'm saying? For 70 racks. Are you paid for, got the deed, and it's only $1,000 a year to live, plus my utilities, which is 175.76 cents.
What? You're so good at math.
Water, cable.
Yeah, you know what? You're deceivingly good at shit.
He's really good at
mathematics.
His math shit.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm just saying, like, you
study the lesson.
You don't look like you know some shit. You don't look like good. You don't look like
my kids and stuff. Play dumb to see what a person is doing. You know what I'm saying? All right, he's like, you know, as soon as he turns his back, go and get him.
Yeah. Go and get him.
Sick him.
Go and get him. Give me money.
No, but talk about that too, because I'm sure you've been in a lot of meetings, a lot of negotiations where people think, stereotypical rapper, you know what I'm saying? This motherfucker don't know his shit, and you hit these motherfuckers over the head with some shit like...
Yeah, I'm looking like, yeah, all right, cool. I can do the same thing they doing. Just let me, just like the game of growing up and why we still here, not in jail or dead.
Too
you
sure.
know what I'm saying? Watching other people's mistakes. Mm-hmm. Knowing that, all right, I'm going to jump over this hole right here. He didn't see that hole.
Right. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I seen the hole. And, you know, watch down where you're looking, all that type of stuff, so...
What's the most valuable lesson you learn on the behalf of somebody else? Like watching somebody else?
Observe. Watch. You know what I'm saying? Don't talk too much. Speak less than you know and show more than you got. You know what I'm saying?
And what do you feel like the biggest mistake that you've made over the years looking back? Like, damn, I wish I could take that back.
I mean, you know, shit. Looking at them contracts with Suge Knight and all, you know, just back in the day, just what I know now. Hey, I can't change the past.
Right. I mean, you don't harbor on it.
So, look, let me ask you this. Okay, so touching on that just real quick and we move on. If you, like, I look at everything like karma. Uh-huh. Like, I think I have right now, I think I'm at like a, I mean, not to do that, but like, I'm probably like a 750 karma credit score. So, if you had to rate, looking on some real shit, just because I wish well for people and I do what I can for others I put that energy out there.
You talking about the karma rating for fucking up at the top?
800. High. No, 800 credit score.
It's like a credit score. It's good.
It's good, right? It's good.
800 is a good, excellent credit
score. I'm at a thousand.
I'm saying, okay, so this is where I'm going with it. Based on what you just said, I looked at the contracts and all that shit. What would you? Because I look at where Suge is at now, and what and like where he was, and what he's become now at this point.
Well, I just look at it like, ha, see what you had now.
So you, what would you give his credit score at this point?
His credit score is low right now.
Whatever low is,
right?
Damn.
His, you know, our credit score is high because we always try to help people, and, you know, enthused. And he was always the one, you know, give, take, my.
Yeah.
That type of stuff like that. So, you know, like I said before, thank God he never been shot or went to jail or, you know, all that other type of stuff. So that must show you got great karma.
Great karma, yeah.
And, you know, and you still giving back. And right now the fans loving the music that I'm putting out right now, you know what I'm saying, and loving that real West Coast music. Yeah. And I could do this type of music and just loving everything that I'm doing right now. And I just appreciate that, you know what I'm saying.
When you drop a new project, every time you drop a new project, I notice it's a different kind of, like, is it a different mood that you in? Like you say, you make your best music when you angry.
Yeah.
So do you have to be in that, in a different mood to make the music, or is it just, you just create an album every year or whatever?
When I'm mad, I just, let me put this music together, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes when you're happy, you're lazy.
Touche.
You know what I'm saying? Putting the TV on, playing video games, smoking weed, laughing, the day gone.
West Coast.
Living it up,
you know what I'm saying? You get up in the morning, you smoke a blunt, and the day gone.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I just got to get mad. At, you know, sometime when you get up in the morning, you might hit your foot on the door.
Oh, that toe?
Yeah, yeah, and then you hit your arm, so that's twice you did that.
Oh, now I'm
and
pissed.
You're doing it again, so you're like, you know what? Let me sit down and slow down my
right,
day.
Right.
For something real happened, you know, tech car or something like
real
that.
Happened. I'm ease it up now.
It's like God is giving you pointers and,
it's like, hey, my nigga,
and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? If you don't take heed to it, slow down. It ain't going nowhere.
One thing I always give you credit for is I've never caught you in a lie.
Nah.
Well, I'm saying, I mean, I'm not dating you. You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure a woman that has been dating you has probably caught you in a lie at some point. But
all the time. But, I ain't gonna even lie.
You know what I'm saying?
Why lie about that?
I was telling me, who are you to lie to? Am I gonna go to jail or can I tell what's gonna happen? I'm gonna get a whooping.
I'm gonna get a whooping.
You gonna put me on punishment? Who's gonna ground me? So, what we doing?
I'm not playing with you, Delmar. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I be telling her. Now you don't know me like that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, No, but I'm saying, like, you always been solid. Like, it's no smut on your name. And that's crazy. Like you say, you never been to jail. You never been shot. And it's no smut on your name after 20 plus years.
Yeah. I mean, like I said before, me and E-Money, we walk the streets, go to the store, hang out, do all that right in the neighborhood.
No bullshit.
Nobody say nothing to us. Just right, bump, bump.
Yeah.
What up? Now, is y'all gonna stop?
Right.
You know, <it's,
laughs> that's it.
You know what I mean? They just keep going, and you know, we just have a good time, man. And I just try to be everywhere. You know what I'm saying? And
I always
I can't keep a relationship because you know time moves. If the money calling me, and it's time. You know what I'm saying? And if I don't go make it, then we arguing.
It's a problem.
And if I do go, then we arguing. So you know what? Let me go do this, and we just keep it arguing.
Just keep arguing. Fuck it. Why not?
Yeah.
Touché. So at this point, you know what album number is this? Do you even count at this point?
He don't count.
No,
all right, so
I mean, let me see. From 92.
90. Well, yeah, 92. Because that, you know.
So what is it? One a year or is it two a year?
That's about 22. Probably about 70 albums all together.
Okay, so
from the group,
yeah,
from the solos to the compilations to producing for people. Like I said before, I reached the pinnacle of rap. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? From doing songs with Helter Skelter, Buck, and mm-hmm. Sean Price, and you know what I'm saying, and Biggie, and being on stage with Biggie and Tupac, and back in the days, you know what I'm saying, and just all doing what we're doing, making history. It's like, you know, what else can I do?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I done did it with the greats already, and we getting paid for that.
They don't really get no bigger than that.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, once you start receiving the, you know, just the writing and all the other type of stuff, you know, just keep it pushing, man. I just try to show my kids like that, you know what I'm saying?
But what I guess my point is, that how do you approach an album at this point? You've, like you said, you've done it, done
bass,
it, done that.
You know, boom.
Yeah.
You know, hanging with the DJs, learning, you know what I'm saying, what goes on in the club, listening for this, listening for that, you know what I'm saying? And just having that ear and going there and put that music together, you know what I'm saying? Having some good speakers.
Now, moving into, like, the newer shit, what are you listening to right now? Who are you, like, what's the new wave for you? Like, what are you listening to? Who you a fan of? Who you look forward to?
Man, mostly what I listen to is jazz and soul music, like Tyrone Davis and Johnny Taylor. And then I get into some rap like Young Thug and YG, Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
You know, I listen to it all because I'm a producer. So I try to have different mood swings, and not to get me upset and fuck this bitch. Hey, everybody arguing and you know, can I get this? And you know, in that type of position. So you know, just try to keep moving.
But you were responsible too. I can give you credit for this. For I would say the West Coast really listening to somebody like a Rick Ross. Like you introduced him to us at that time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I hang with Rick Ross. In Atlanta.
But I mean that I think that goes to show like your palate as well, what you're into. Is I mean, just from the list that you name, you got some people that don't fuck with the Young Thugs, but it's like, nah, nigga, I'm a producer. I get down with all kind of music and shit.
I see them all down there. You know what I'm saying? I just can't be like, well, fuck that. You know what I'm saying? I just show everybody love. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A dope dealer do what? Show love.
Right.
You gotta get
everybody
to the money.
Happy. Right.
Get to the money. Plus, when everybody see me, they know, boy, you got that gas.
Right.
Well, you got that gas.
Do people still reach out to you like when they're asking you for beats at this point? Like what's
the name? I
just start
getting
thing?
Back to doing the really beats and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Out there in Atlanta serving because you know everybody out there. I just gotta find a good tag. This is Daz. That's what they'll say.
You got
Daz
one,
mate.
Not that's a. That's for the rapping though. The Daz on it. I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I had one. I create the beat to beat the fuck right out of your speakers.
What?
You know what song is that? Dog Day Afternoon.
But you can't put that on a beat.
Shit, they did that. YG. Mustard on a Hoe beat.
Wait, no, Mustard on a Beat Hoe is short. Yeah. That you.
But he said Hoe. I create the beat to beat the fuck right out of your speakers. Fuck is only one word.
I'm talking about the length. That's a lot of fucking syllables. How you
speed it up? I create the beat to beat the speed it up.
That's it.
I create the beat, just you know, got to piece it up.
I like the Daz better.
Daz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He like, man.
Hey, I want publishing on that too. I'm just keeping it solid. If you use that shit, I'm gonna call Big A, and it's gonna be a problem.
Get it right off the podcast. We gonna sample it right off the podcast.
Right. So
I'm telling you right now, that phone call coming right through.
Homegrown radio.
Yes. Hey, you know, a DJ Head called me.
Homegrown Radio.
So you've been in multiple deals at this point. You know what I'm saying? You did. I mean, I remember the last time we had talked. You had mentioned a situation because you and JD had just fell out at that point. You know what I'm saying?
We fell out, got back together. Shout out to JD.
What was that conversation like? And how are those?
I used to pull up on him with the AK in the back of my seat.
Why, Dad?
For what?
In Atlanta. Just
you told the story you told me.
Just on some nigga shit. That's what he was about to say? On some nigga shit.
I mean, you know, I would pull up to him and he would come on, hey, what's up? And I just had a gun right there.
Just let him know.
Saying, hey, what's up, JD, man? I'm going to go give me
some. Go get some chicken.
Just know shit was serious. Right, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And then after that, I was just like, you know, I need all my music and, you know, all that type of stuff. And he gave it all back to me. He didn't want no problem. Then he was hanging with the dog. And I was, you know, that's new. I left it alone.
Leave it, yeah.
You know what I mean? He's too short for me to be.
Right, you know right. I got it.
You a bully.
I mean, somebody just told me the other day.
He told me a story that they was on a plane. He said, man, I was about 2 feet away from whooping this nigga's ass on the plane.
Oh, yeah. Me and JD was on the plane. He was right here. I was on the plane, getting on the plane. And I looked around. He was right there looking at me. I'm like, should I just jump up? Oh, gorilla?
Right now, I was like, dog, not now.
Hey, you gonna be on you? You'll be.
I think it wouldn't know what to do.
They had your ass on TMZ in a heartbeat.
I mean, they had little Jason on there. He probably will never get another airplane ticket from me.
True.
Easy, he acted a fool on the plane.
I seen that. I was like, what the?
Yeah, that was probably the last time getting a role too.
Man, that's. You can't act the ass like that, man. You got to be careful.
I look at people like, you know, people who play rap big stars on movies be their last movie they play.
Really?
I mean, who else? You know, everybody that played a big rapper part.
Was it Gravy?
All of them. Anybody, you know what I'm saying?
Well, wasn't he Biggie in the...
In All Eyes on Me too.
I mean, Biggie in his sleep.
Right.
You stupid.
Tupac. You know what I mean? They got a new Tupac.
Yeah,
Are you tired of the stories that's coming out at this point?
Yeah, because they won't take my story. They always trying to jump over my story to get somebody else's story, but I'm just going to wait.
They're going to want to.
Wait, what do you mean they won't take your story?
I mean, I had a meeting with the same guys that did the Unsolved thing that they're doing now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So they wanted to go with that. So after that fizzle, they probably going to be, hey, Dad, I got to run the checkup on you now.
Yeah, because I'm noticing, like, there's never an end to it. There's always going to be another story about the same story.
Same shit.
But I think it's because we're so intrigued.
But this story's got to do with, like, a lot of murders and stuff that the police, you know what I'm saying? But that's on them. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Reggie Wright.
They got to pay for that.
I think it's because just in hip-hop, like us being hip-hop heads and kids and growing up in the culture, we just so infatuated by, like...
Bullshit.
No, I mean, not even just the bullshit, but I'm talking about in general, like, I'm not even just saying, like, the 90s or no era in particular.
You're right. Like, just look at it, right? When you get on Instagram Live, there's a gang of motherfuckers that's on it. They want to see what Daz is doing behind
exactly.
I mean, I wake up in the morning, I had about 13, 14,000 on there. Exactly. But the numbers look low at the top, like 60, 70. But when I click off
you
of
see it,
it,
yeah.
It'd be like 13, 14,000. And they up at 5 in the morning while I'm running.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, people want to know. Like, I find myself to be like, I'll tap. I mean, you see, I mean, we talk, but I'll tap in on your shit because I'll be up for the morning. So I'll be up early as fuck. So, you know what I mean? But when it's not about that. I think it's just people want more of who they love and who they're a fan of. And so me, like, even Chuck, like, when we saw the All Eyes on Me shit, nobody was more critical than Chuck. Mm-hmm. Chuck is watching everything.
Critical Chuck.
He was on it. He was like, that ain't happened. I was pissed
that they used, well, one of the things, I was like, why they use Snoop's voice like that?
I didn't like how they did that.
That fucked up the movie right there.
That was it. I was like, oh, nah. I was like,
and I looked at it and I seen the dude who plays Snoop. I'm like, well, they fucked you.
Yeah,
they didn't let you use your real voice.
I would have been okay with him.
They never know who you are.
Real voice.
The thing is, like, I'm just saying, somebody
going to say, and they just started laughing in the movie.
It's like, what's going on?
Like one of them kung fu movies.
Everybody just started laughing when they say, "What's up, nephew?"
He's like, "What's up, nephew?"
I think we just want more. Like we all, like right now, do you have anybody you're a fan of? At this point, not in music, in general. Sports, actor.
Entrepreneur, anybody.
See, you know,
comic.
El Chapo.
Okay, well that, okay.
I'm a fan of watching the Narcos. And
okay, so let's say El Chapo was still out. And he went live in at 5 a.m., which
I'm watching.
On it, right?
That's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying. So you're a fan. So there's people.
Beyonce, everybody, you know, I'm just watching everybody on live. You know what I'm saying? Because you go in there, you see a lot of people on live because they be recording them and putting them on YouTube now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those stories.
So I really like Nino Brown.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying we fans. So we tap in. We want to see.
We want to see it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like every time I get on there, I see myself an hour later on YouTube.
Yeah, they take the video.
Oh, yeah, they take the video when I'll be at the beach and listening to my album on there. They got the whole Daz preview.
You're right.
What they call it, a release.
Yeah.
You can preview the whole album right here.
Damn.
Hey, how do you feel about that? Are you one of those people who get their shit shut down, or you like the fact that fans want to fuck
with you? I was getting my shit shut down before. They was like, I put some stuff up with my music. They'd be like, well, you have to get rights to the publisher. Motherfucker, I am the one. I'm going to sue you, motherfucker. Yeah.
Then they
verify me and all that type of stuff. So you know what I'm saying?
But I'm saying
YouTube do the same thing as right now. It's like people get paid for the monetizing on there. You know what I'm saying? Great. And it might be your music on there, but they getting the check for it on that little thing they be having on the money on the side to see how many hits and stuff like this. So I'm like, fuck it, let me sue YouTube.
So if you only have a problem with it if somebody's monetizing your shit. I know
everybody monetizing on there because I went over Slink Johnson. He had the shit monetizing his own shit. Yeah. And he was telling me about it. I'm like, damn, let me see that. Go to my page. I got this million on there. How much is that? He said it was about 7,000.
Like somebody monetizing my shit. Fuck.
I'm just saying, like, damn. I think. A lot of artists now don't, because you're so independent. That's why I was saying, how hands on are you?
I'm hands on everything. I go through the internet and go through YouTube,
scouring all that shit.
Go through iTunes.
Who using my shit?
Yeah. Who putting records out? What songs is this? If they put it out, then I'm gonna snatch it and put it on another record and change the name.
Now, I've seen that one of the homies had somebody uploaded his whole album.
Dad's album?
No, not Dad's album. His own album, and just changed the name of the artist. That was it. And getting paid. The other person's getting paid off of his shit. He's like, man, I just want y'all to know that somebody uploaded my whole shit and named it something completely different.
Damn. Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, what niggas can do nowadays.
Same thing.
I could take
your song right now, put it on iTunes.
And monetize off that shit.
They get paid for it. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
And it's like they could just—it's like the
internet. It's no referee.
Steal records. They don't give a fuck. Right. It's like all that shit is out the door.
There's no referee.
There's no referee in this game right now. Somebody has to come in and shake this up. You know what I'm saying?
Now I heard Snoop say something a while back. I forgot who he was talking to, but he did an interview. And they was asking him, would he be okay with his son or daughter, whoever, going in the music industry, or what would he rather them do? And he said sports, because at least sports is regulated. Do you feel like that about? You know, your offspring, like, whereas...
I mean, I let them do what they do. You know, they do sports, they do music, but, you know...
Would you rather them not be in the game, or...
And if they want to be in the game, I support them to do what they do, but I tell them, you know, the bad parts, the good parts, you know what I'm saying? I just let them do them, you know what I'm saying? As long as there's no killing, no shooting, no bullshit. Like I tell them, I wouldn't tell you to do nothing I wouldn't do. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So, one of my sons in prison, you know what I'm saying? Just going, you know, haywire and all that other type of shit. But, you know, I always try to school them right and keep them going. But whatever it is, I'm all with it. As long as you ain't robbing no banks.
Damn.
Because you ain't got to steal.
You ain't got to steal, brother. You ain't got to do that. They give you time now.
So, speaking of that, like, how do you feel about, now, people who, like, we were talking about the Meek Mill shit earlier where people violate they shit.
What, Nicki Minaj said don't drop the soap.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Nino Brown said, you been sucking this dick?
She didn't say that.
I saw a tweet. She put a tweet out and said, don't drop the soap.
Fuck
with an emoji. With an emoji.
And all the niggas went in and said, boy, you just was sucking his dick 6 months ago, all down your throat and everything else.
See, that's fucked up.
So
and
the thing
her,
is,
her brother just got caught up with some bullshit,
hell
too.
Yeah. And he got convicted.
They say, free Meek Mill and take your brother.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bang. Nino Brown.
Why?
Do you have sympathy for do you have any kind of compassion for people who I don't necessarily say
nobody to do no raping or other shit like that. That's a violation. We're gonna whoop your ass. We're gonna get you there, plus the boys in the jail, they gonna get you.
No, I'm not saying that those people who are sex offenders. I'm talking about people who violate their shit over and over again.
Violation probation?
Yeah. Like if you know you on probation, like, sit down, my nigga.
See, in Long Beach, they everybody be on joint suspension, probation. That means, okay.
Like the gang injunction?
You know you got
shit?
4 years clean already, but if you fuck up one time it's right. over out the door. Wow. You know what I'm saying? So
that's so you reset the 4 years?
You going to jail. You can that's a wrap. It's a wrap. You going to jail. Like, if you say, all right, I'm going to take this joint, you know, da-da-da-da, and you can be good the whole time. When you fuck up, that 3 years that you've been good, they don't give a fuck about that.
Oh, you don't get no time. You don't get no credit.
You got to do the whole start over.
Oh. That's all I'm saying. Like, with that being said, do you have
any... He was on probation for 11 years, though. Yeah, I ain't heard no shit bullshit. Like that yeah. before.
Since 19.
I don't even hear what two... Hey, yo, motherfuckers in Long Beach, they getting summary probation.
Man. 3 months.
Yeah, like, no, not even just summary probation, but you ain't even got to go see a probation officer. Just don't get caught in the mix of the police hands and have them running your name and all that. That's where they get busted at. Okay, we're going to let you go, though.
Yeah.
But we're going to turn this information to your probation officer.
But see, that do you now the justice system is crazy because, I mean, to my knowledge, it's like if you get apprehended by a police officer, that's a violation. But it's like, how the fuck is that a violation? Like, they can
you
just
can't come in no contact with the police,
all.
Period.
You gotta lay low.
That's crazy.
You gotta lay low.
When you're on probation.
That's set up
that
for you to fail, though, at some point.
I mean, that means you better get your shit together and stop hanging with the mother dudes that you hanging with and go hang with some other.
Yeah, but you can be taking your daughter to the mall to get some school clothes.
I mean, depends on, like, what are you doing? Hanging with these guys, they making a lot of noise and stuff. If you get stopped and you got your license and all that, well, that's cool. But if you hang with some known drug dealers,
they doing some shit.
Felons and shit, you don't supposed to hang with no felons.
Felons, yeah.
That's all your homeboys.
True.
Motherfuckers we back with, do business with.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you got to change the situation. Stay in the house.
Just stay in the house.
I find to stay in the house, to spend no money, I stay in the house.
Yeah, leave that shit alone.
Well, yeah, you got 2 acres, so of course.
I mean,
you...
but the fact is, like, as soon as you go out, they say, "Why you stay in the house?" Because I don't spend no money when I go out. As soon as you go out, you got to spend money for gas. You got to spend money for this. You got to spend money for that. Sit your ass in the house and don't answer the phone
for 11 years.
No, that's Meek Mill on probation for 11 years.
That's what I'm saying. So you
but I think his shit was it.
But the judge wanted him to do a song with Boys and Men.
I saw that shit.
And she lived in his neighborhood.
Get the fuck out of here.
I saw that shit, bro. That whole thing.
She wanted Meek Mill.
That's crazy.
See, the thing is,
she wanted him sexually.
Crazy. Yeah.
I don't know the judge's back history, but it do seem crazy to me. Like, at first, I don't have any empathy. Just me being the black and white person I am, I don't have empathy for people who put themselves in fucked up positions.
Piss on the podium. Right.
But at the same time, this shit is crazy. Like,
don't sound right.
You want me to do a song? And then I heard that she wanted him to leave and go to another management company. But anyway.
Like, why are you all in this shit?
We don't want you at Jay-Z's.
Right. Like, we don't want you to make money. Fuck that. We want you over here.
Now, have you ever thought of giving any thought to... DMX got a new reality show. Have you ever given any thought to doing...
DMX gained some weight.
Have you ever... Yeah.
Stop smoking.
Have you ever given any thought to doing a reality TV show?
I'd be in trouble. Too much drama for me.
All your business out there?
Everything.
All the women know about each other.
I'm still doing dirt.
About to say, this transparency age, people will eat that shit up. They'll love it.
They would love... I would love to watch a reality show with you.
I do a reality show with, show that I'm doing, you know, just going back. But it's reality. I was going to do Love and Hip Hop, but Snoop and them told me don't do it.
They told you?
Back off it?
They was going to have me do it in Love and Hip Hop in Atlanta when I was
there. I would love to see you, because you don't give a fuck. You represent for people like me.
Right. And I think you'd be able to showcase your personality in a way where you wouldn't fuck yourself
I'm
over.
I'm a comedian.
Exactly. And people, a lot of people may not know that.
Hey, you should do it just so I have a representation on television.
I'm trying to get Ray J to go and steam me on it. Once I get on there for the first time, I think I'll be a regular on the show.
You'll be good. You'll be straight.
Because I can see you just lean back in the chair talking to the bro like, bitch, we just met. Like, what are you talking about?
Come on. Yeah, that's what I said. You want to come over to my house and do what?
Right.
Everything already cleaned up over here. I'm self-sufficient.
Oh, man, dude. Do you trip out at the fans nowadays that are like the younger fans that are gravitating towards your music, maybe be listening to Dog Food for the first time or some shit like that?
Right.
They have a lot of fans like that.
Cause I'm gonna make you feel that was the first CD that I bought with my own money.
Oh yeah, for sure. Man, I appreciate it. Put a lot of hard work into it.
But for somebody right now that's listening to it for the first time.
Hey, but what'd you spend? You spent the $10 or you spent the $15?
I can't even remember. I remember it was the cassette. And I remember the nigga that was
$9.99.
The nigga that was hating on that. He was like, man, because I went with my mom's. You know, I had the little parental advisory shit at the time.
Yeah.
He was Warehouse Music in Carson. Fuck this nigga. He was like, ma'am, do you know that this album has a song called Bomb Ass Pussy on it?
Damn,
nigga, what are you doing?
Blowing my spot up.
What are you doing, dog? She was like, well, I'm gonna listen to it with him. She was cool about it, but I'm like, dog, man, he could have fucked my whole shit up. But now, I mean, you got fans now like that are just catching on to the music, you know what I'm saying? Very early on, you know what I'm saying? So it's crazy that newer generations is catching on to the music that you put out there.
Yeah, like
20
my daughter,
years.
She's 19. She love all, you know, the music cuz she you know she producing.
Word.
And I just was in the club the other day and there was young DJs in there, you know what I'm saying? Mm. They playing Bomb Ass Pussy.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In the strip club, you know, young.
Hey, you know, what's it? Kamaya, she just released a song. I think they sampled that shit. Do you know that?
I just heard it the other day. I just hit it on Instagram.
Hello.
Oh, you know? No, you just hit him up?
I'm about to say,
I just called Interscope the other day about that.
Yeah, I'm gonna get on
it. Oh, because I was like,
it's crazy.
I was like, shit hard. I was like, wait a minute. I know that motherfucking song right there.
I'm gonna hit him in the head.
Shout out to Kamaya, but I think
I'm a big fan of her.
But I think that's dope though because it's introducing people to the new shit. You know what I'm saying?
Do you feel like
because I'm gonna sample it again for me and Gip.
Absolutely. Why not?
They sample it. I'm finna sample my own music and put it out.
That's what I was gonna ask you. Have you ever sampled your own shit?
Yeah. When I'm doing show tapes.
No, I'm talking about like to create a completely new track.
Yeah.
Like, you can do that, bro. At this point, you got enough classic shit where you could take your own shit and sample it.
What they say, it's like 10, 20 years?
10 years.
So the shit niggas were sampling in the 90s.
That shit is all good. That's good to go.
It's all good to go. But now, but you're right. Like, your shit now, motherfuckers is already recreating this anyway.
Yeah.
So shit, do that shit. Fuck
it. I love it.
You down? Yeah, all right, so I won't publish it on that, too.
This nigga because
I just came up with that idea. That's writers. Do I get writers for that, E? I get writers for that, bro. Yeah. See, I know the lingo.
Just change the words a little bit.
Get the fuck out of here.
So if there's one song out your catalog that you tired of hearing right now, that she's like, man,
go away forever.
Just delete this from my catalog. What is it?
What is it, producing or rapping? Which one?
Both. One and one. One produce, one rap.
I mean, I love them all, man, you know.
They oughta made you some money.
Yeah.
You done made at least $1 off each
your
one.
Your shit cashed out.
If
you
I can
good.
Make a dollar out of something, I'm gonna try to push to make 10 out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
But you know, all of them. You know what I'm saying? Let me see what song I hated. Death Row. I think one I did with Danny Boy.
What song?
That was Slip and Slide song.
We did
a remix of Slip and Slide.
Oh, yeah, I remember that shit.
We had to beat him up.
Hold on.
You beat up somebody?
They beat Danny Boy up.
Oh,
boy. OFTB.
Yeah, so allegedly. Anyway, yeah, we're going to move past that. We're trucking right along real quick. You see what I'm saying? We finna go down this other road. Allegedly, they allegedly beat him up, Dad.
I like that song. You know what I'm saying? If they didn't like a song, they was beating motherfuckers up in the studio. You know
no, allegedly, Dad. Allegedly.
Wait, hold on.
It's all recorded. Everybody know.
Did you have compassion when you ever seen some shit like that happen? Like, God damn, they ain't got to fuck them up like that. Or was you like, yeah. Give me.
Dad's in that place and throwing like, bets.
Ooh, they whooping that ass. They was whooping ass constantly in that motherfucker.
Like a daily regimen or like a...
Yeah, Marty said, hi, Mary J. Blige, and they just whooped his ass for saying hi to Mary.
Who? I mean, Never mind.
No, wait, hold on.
Yeah, so let's wrap this shit up, because I want to know.
I got another one.
Well,
fuck that.
Nah, we got to get off air.
Fuck that. I got another one, man. So, all right, rest in peace, Nate Dogg. I remember seeing a documentary where he expressed his thoughts of what was going on at the Source Awards when Suge got up there and said that. If you were in the audience, what were your thoughts at that time?
Who are we going to get up out of this motherfucker?
This is fucking thick. This
shit going down. Wu-Tang had about 100 dudes over there. Nas and him had about 100 dudes over there.
Damn.
Bad Boy had some dudes, you know what I'm saying? But then the real crazy thing is with the first Source Awards. That was the second Source Awards where Suge Knight got up there acting fool. Now, the first Source Awards, they was booing us and all kind of shit when we accepted the award for Dr. Dre. Me, Rage, Nate Dogg, and Corrupt went up on the podium in the same way they approached the crowd. When I said the same thing, fuck all y'all. Tretch had to help us get up out of there. It was going down for the First Source Awards. But I was looking for that footage and can't find it.
Ain't nowhere, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
I miss that. I don't miss the negativity. I miss the energy. Yeah. I miss the pride
It was just a competition in hip-hop.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like in the 90s, did nobody sound like nobody. Right. Everybody sounded different.
But see, this is what you got to look at, too. You got to look at the times. We were just talking to this with the other homies. Like, the times that we in now, everybody is on that way because I wanted my shit to, like, everybody sound like Thug.
Look at T-Pain. Mm-hmm. They criticism killed fucked him out the game, and but everybody using everybody his right now.
Everybody using
it. But T-Pain can't sell a record right
that's
now.
That's sad.
You know what I mean? But everybody got the auto-tune. They just tweaked it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Put the little thing, Travis Scott. Other, you know what I'm saying? Fuck it.
But that's what I'm saying. I miss that energy of, like you said, the competitive nature in hip hop. That's kind of what I loved about it. But you have to look at it like this. Where we are right now, everybody want to sound, like you said, you're using T-Pain shit. Yeah. Everybody sounding like Thug or Future or whatever.
It was called biting back then.
But it's also translated into food. Everybody is a chef. Everybody look at sports. Everybody nobody's competing. Everybody clicking up,
joining super teams.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like that's not just in hip hop. That's not just in music.
That's a culture. Yeah.
That's in every aspect of life. And I miss that energy that when y'all was doing that and y'all set that tone. Mm-hmm. Like we from the West Coast. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You tell us what it is. You know what I mean? Like I like that energy, that pride of. This is what we stand for. This is what we about.
Yeah, because when they see me, they just, hey, I'm West Coast out.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I'm with you. I get shit for that.
See that Wallace.
Keep it going,
man, you know what I'm saying? It's just the way I dress.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm in Atlanta, they already know that dude from the West Coast.
That's an L.A. nigga right
there. Somebody asked me, hey, you from the West Coast? I said, yeah. He said, yeah, man, because you dress like
that. look just like one of them. You know what I mean?
West Coast.
Dazmataz, the album's going to be out, you said, top of the year?
Top of the year, January.
Oh, what's the, we do this thing called the business card track. So you walk up to somebody who don't know you from a can of paint, and you hand them this song. What's the song that defines pretty much the project?
Dazmataz, the title track, you know, When Life Calls, West Coast, you know what I'm saying? I got a song with LaToya Williams that's real classy,
she's talented.
You know what I'm saying? And right now, I just looked at, I got M1 from Dead Presidents on there with this new artist that I got called Rala. He's from Miami, like Jamaican artist.
Mm-hmm. Are you producing on anybody else's project?
Nah, getting back to it.
So you're like, nah, fuck that. I'm keeping on my
shit. I don't make no money off producing for other people. I make money producing for myself more than I do.
Would you still make music if you couldn't make money?
Yeah. But I get somebody else to make the money.
Right, right. I was about to say, okay, one last thing, too, because you said you would get back to the whole street team aspect, more physicals and all that shit. Is it easy or hard for you to actually trust somebody with your shit, like building a team? How hands-on do you have to be?
I'm going to be right there. We're going to get up at 2:30 in the morning.
We're going to do all that shit together, huh?
Get up in the morning and go ahead and put them up.
Strike. Yeah.
Put them up. So when they wake up in the morning.
That shit everywhere.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, let's get some rest in the daytime. And we'll be up at nighttime.
Get ready for that.
Nighttime. My. And real quick, thoughts on the 444 album?
Thought it was a grown album, you know. I really didn't like it at first.
Me either,
grown because it was like, I'm listening to the sample, like, he paid no ID for this bullshit. You know what I'm saying? He could have came and just been in him, you know. That, like I said before, that album came and gone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Put some street music out. Jay-Z so corporate right now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But I also think that it's paving the way for hip-hop to get older because we don't see that.
I mean, right now it's just getting younger. You know what I mean? Because this kid's being born every day.
Right.
You can put hip-hop right on right now and they going to move their head like this.
Did you think that hip-hop would be the way it is right now when you first started, like when it was a fad?
Hip-hop was already crazy, you know, from African Bambaataa wearing all that shit he had on back then and, you know, just experiment. Hip-hop is being experimental. We try anything.
And authenticity.
Yeah, it depends on what you feel. Motherfuckers do anything. It's a good thing.
But back then, like, nobody, I mean, you had the core of people that fucked with it, but they didn't, like, writing that shit. motherfuckers is household names now. You know what I'm saying? Hip hop is the biggest fucking genre.
Back then, it wasn't big.
That's what I'm saying.
Rock and
so
roll
like
and stuff like that.
Back then, like
turn
what,
that bullshit off.
Yeah. So do you look at it like did you look at it as saying, oh yeah, this is gonna take over the world, or was just like, oh, this is something else?
Yeah. Yeah, did y'all know what it was gonna be
and all that? You know, when we were making music, we didn't know what we was doing. You know, we're just making music, have fun. We didn't know it was gonna be. You know what I'm saying? Well, they used it on commercials.
Yeah.
All this stuff. But now hip hop is a business. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And anybody can get into it. You know, they selling $2 million albums with the Wu-Tang and that dude. Boy.
Man. Hey, don't let them get YouTube $2 million for one album.
Man, they did it already. The Wu-Tang, that dude bought it, the little pharmacist dude.
Yeah.
Mike, was it Mike Scruggs?
I forgot his name.
Yeah.
Skrelly. Martin Skrelly.
What's one thing that people don't know about Daz that you feel like you haven't, I don't know if Express told people or just people that don't know about you?
Hey, I just like having fun, smiling, and
you do backflips.
All that. And, hey, I'm gonna take it in.
Take
we're
that money.
Do all that type of stuff. And have you know, just having fun.
Yeah.
You know, smiling and laughing.
West Coast.
Well, shit,
all
man.
Day.
Dog, we appreciate the time, man. I know
man,
you came straight from Atlanta, brother.
Yeah, man. At Homegrown
Absolutely
Radio.
Absolutely, gotta do it. Daz Mataz. The album's coming soon. Top of the year, man.
Yeah. Check out my single right now on the West Coast. And I got a G mix right now with Be Legit and Big Gip. And y'all be watching out for that Big Gip and Daz album, Dope. ATLA.
And DJ Heads Publishing on all that
oh,
shit.
Yeah, for sure. And Social Security number. What's your Social Security?
Yeah, you just dropped a video too to that on the West Coast, so shit's hard.
Guap produced that
Shout
video.
Shout out to homie Guap, man.
Shout out to homie E.
All right, it's Homegrown Radio. Money. Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head, the homie Daz, and we up out, man. Catch y'all next time.
You bitch, you.